course of the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Clause 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on April 29, 2010. Can we please have the roll call vote?
Mr. Dinkoff?
Present.
Ms. Gregory? Ms. Presti?
Present.
Ms. Hofig?
Here.
Mr. Kaplan?
Here.
Ms. Levin?
Here.
Mr. Shadle?
Here.
Mr. Scheibel?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
We have a quorum and may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Don, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since we'll probably have a long meeting this evening, I'll keep my remarks brief. I just want to thank the board members for attending the special meeting on February 16th. That was a meeting that was called for 7:15 in the morning, and I know it was not very convenient for most, if not all, the board members, but for those that were in attendance and those that were in attendance by phone, I want to thank you for getting up so early and helping us conduct board business. Moving right along, we'll start with the report of the superintendent of schools, Mr. Carroll.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. As stated for the board enrollment, I apologize, let me just open that up for you. Current enrollment for the school district as of February 1st, 2011 is 1,673 students compared to last year at this time, which was 1,728 students. We have one suspension to report at this time at the middle school for the month of February. No other suspensions to report. Following along with my other superintendent's reports, I'd like to continue related topics to our strategic plan, but I am going to take them out of order as it is put on the board. I have some very special guests here, and I will start with them under Productive Citizens, and a presentation by Mrs. Diane Cormican, the CTMS enrichment teacher, and her students. Mrs. Cormican?
Really chilly.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cormican, for all your hard work. And ladies and gentlemen, amazing. As I said to you that night, and again in a follow-up letter to you, to watch what you were able to do, not only as students, but really as leaders, I was lost for words. It was such a moving event for many of the people in the district, in the community, and I really hope it becomes a tradition for us that you've created year after year. Thank you again.
Girls and boys, on behalf of the Board of Education, I just want you to know how very proud we are of you. I know your parents are very proud. I'm glad we have as many people in the audience tonight as we have, so that they can see what wonderful, fine students we have here in Clinton Township. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. And again, on behalf of the Board of Education, thank you for all your efforts. And also the teacher, thank you.
And with that, I will excuse you for this evening. Thank you for doing your homework. And hopefully you don't have any more homework tonight. Thank you so much. Next up, under supportive environment, we have a presentation by Brinkerhoff Environmental Services Incorporated. President Laura Brinkerhoff and Jason Hooper, who is going to be our project manager. If you will take the microphone, thank you so much. Brinkerhoff Environmental Services were awarded the work to be done at Patrick McGowan School regarding a preliminary assessment and a phase one audit, which they will explain their scope of work. And there will be a time for the public to ask questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting us tonight. My firm, Brinkerhoff Environmental Services, was one of quite a number of firms that submitted technical proposals to the board to conduct an environmental assessment of the school. We were notified about a week and a half ago that we had then worked the contract based on our approach, a review of the qualifications that we had submitted, and the certifications which are held by the firm to do this type of work. The firm has been doing environmental work at school sites in New Jersey for more than 20 years, and we are certified in the categories of asbestos, indoor air quality, lead based paint, and general environmental consulting. I personally am licensed by the state of New Jersey under what is called the Licensed Site Remediation Professional Program, short called the LSRP, and Jason Hooper here, who is our senior project manager, who will be leading the work, is here with me tonight.
Information gathering process, and that's what we're undertaking right now with within the next week, we'll be making our initial site visit to the school. And within probably about 2 weeks, depending on the information that we get back from the various agencies, and depending upon our initial site visit, we'll initiate some kind of sampling protocol. Thank you, and we are available for questions.
Anyone from the board have any questions for Laura or Jason? I apologize to the public. It seems that we have a shared mic right now as we're working with a new system up here. But if anyone has any questions, you could either raise your hand and I can recognize you, or step out, or come and share the mic if you have a question of Brinkerhoff Environmental. You want to turn that, Maria? That might be easier. Sorry.
Sorry. I'm with an organization called Concerned Parents of Clinton Township School District. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've done a very fair amount of work on a PA on the site, as well as a lot of work on a phase one indoor and a phase one outdoor assessment. And I was just curious, I know we had talked about this and agreed upon this when we would be able to provide that information. We've conducted all types of interviews with long-term residents, with people who live on the streets that are around, people who have businesses in that specific area, with teachers who are retired, current teachers, parents of children there. We have a very fair amount of information that we agreed that needed to be shared. I was just curious as to when you might be able to do that, because we do know that we're operating on limited time as far as just want to do some indoor testing before the building's opened up. So we're just curious when we can give that presentation.
Maria, just so you know, when they were awarded the work, we had a teleconference with Jason, Laura, and another member of their team to let them know about the work the ad hoc committee has done. Got up to this point, specifically all the work that you have done in the presentation, you've shared with the ad hoc committee, and then that going forward would be shared with that company.
Okay, do you have a sense of when you would be?
Again, that's up to them. They're taking the lead on that. So when they're looking for some of that historical information, I would be setting up through you when you'd be able to present to them.
Okay. And then just another question. I know that once we have the few ad hoc committee meetings, there have been some people who have contacted me and asked about this presentation who want to see it. And I just, you know, want to know, is there going to be an opportunity for other people to see the information that's been collected as well?
Well, I don't know what going through Brinkerhoff. I know we had discussed in the ad hoc committee there were some confidential pieces that may need to be redacted in some way, but I guess we can review that.
I think it was just one slide of location, but that's easily fixed. We can, you know, just review it. But I think after we've talked to people that we've hired, there really isn't very much evidence.
All right. If you want, when we meet again with the ad hoc, given the time frame from Brinkerhoff Environmental, maybe after you present to them, we can look at a presentation as well with feedback from the ad hoc, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, what, outside of maybe that one slide, what might have to be redacted because of confidentiality.
Okay.
Thank you, Maria.
Study, there will be a full presentation made to this, you know, everyone here in the public or any all interested parties will have the opportunity to see, you know, all the findings of our investigation. Thank you.
Can you review the timing? Just when do you think you'll get started and how long?
We've already started. Our estimate is probably in the 6 to 8 week total range. It could be maybe shorter than that, but that would be a safe assumption.
Can I ask one more question? Sorry.
Sure, Maria.
6 to 8 week period sort of brings us to the time frame where
no longer be closed up. And we were just curious as to how we can not have to perhaps exceed that time frame and then, you know, have to wait again for the record roll around to do some of that testing.
When I say 6 to 8 weeks for the complete report, the any sampling or study of the interior of the school will be done much before that and in time. I understand the urgency to get in there and study the air before it's open that the HVAC has changed over season. So when I say 6 to 8 weeks, that's for our complete and final.
Partnerships, a discussion started with mayor and council, and that is why this evening Mr. Harmon Voss, council member and school board liaison, was invited to come out and present to the board. That discussion that started, it's created a committee. And Mr. Voss, if you would like to come forward with your committee.
Crash.
stated, it's a drastic cut last year. The board is really in need of new sources of stable recurring non-tax revenue. And by virtue of the fact that this property is adjacent to the major regional highway junction and very close to the existing park and ride, which is an issue from the, that is obviously our residents have had strong opinions about the lack of capacity there for many years, and survey data from the last handout sort of speaks to that. The lot obviously operates at well over capacity. So I just think that it's an interesting sort of win-win that you might want to take a look at. But that also, if you have any questions.
Does anybody on the board have any questions? John?
Two questions, actually. Have you done any preliminary work?
Can you speak into the mic?
Sure. Have you done any preliminary work on what you might be able to charge for a slot and what kind of revenue this could generate?
No, I think that's what we'd have to discuss going forward. I mean, obviously, there's sort of two sources of non-tax revenue theory. One would be the lease, and the other would be whatever the permanent revenue would be. And I think if you were restricting the township residents, you'd want to keep it relatively nominal, but not, free. Part of the problem over there right now is it's free, that people can consume the benefit of parking for free, and it's not rational for free. So I think that would require further analysis, but I guess we've got to take that next step.
You're talking about approximately 100 cars, and most commuters are willing to pay for a permit of $50 per month.
Right.
So you think $5,000
magnitude to be effective. Yeah. If it generates $5,000 a year, it's probably not worth the headache to
right.
go through it. It's got to, make a dent in the revenue.
We're talking about $60,000.
I realize that.
It's just a general idea.
Why would transfers are currently using the Annandale Square lot? Is the proposal to transfer the parking from there to this lot?
No.
Hey, Kevin,
can you repeat the question, please?
I was asking currently, there's parking up in downtown Annandale in that Annandale Square. Is there a proposal to limit that parking, or would that continue?
I guess the Transbridge, obviously, between the two lots, you're talking roughly 400 spaces capacity, a little more than that. So that if you were to move those from the transfer, that would really solve the capacity problem.
We just sort of Annandale Square combined or about 400.
Yeah, it's on the last sheet. It's 305. And was worth like 111 or something like that. That would just be transferring a distinct capacity to it. I think they currently do lease end that square, but that's a decision that the Transbridge would have to make, but I think that would solve the capacity issue with just sort of transfer the
right. And what
you
do is Transbridge were mental and that's the gift is the buses leave earlier, so you wouldn't have to travel close here.
I'm sorry if this is...
Speaking to the mic, please.
Okay. This might be asking you to repeat something, but I'm having trouble hearing it. You're proposing just to have their Wall Street routes on our property, is that right?
Well, that would be the ideal, because... Okay. But that would be a... That would be
graffiti. That's better. Thank you. That would be the ideal, because that way you'd have both buses gone by 7 o'clock. So there wouldn't be any kind of school traffic. But that would involve requesting, making a request for TransBridge, which we don't know if they're going to do.
How many buses would they be running in total, regardless of the hour? How many would go out a day or come in a day?
Wall Street is very much less than Port Authority. I think you only have a handful in the morning and then a handful in the evening. I don't have the exact number, but it's easy to find out the schedules online.
Okay, and do you know, and maybe you don't know this, is the only ingress and egress for that lot, would it be on Grey Rock, or is there an option to put it on 31 or some other place?
Another issue to discuss, because if it goes out onto 31 North and the buses turn around, look at the ShopRite, which is, a long U-turn, if it would be able to come out on Grey Rock Road, it would make an easy turnaround.
We're in the very corner of 31, it's too late for the next.
Right.
And where Grey Rock goes on Grey Rock, it's either having an intersection with 31.
Right, there's that sort of corner there where if it came out on the corner,
Square. Do commuters currently pay to park there now?
No.
Okay. Can you just kind of tell us how you arrived at $100 a month and 50 cars for your revenue projections?
Just the opposite, Gene.
It was actually
$100 and $50.
100 cars.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Honestly, that's purely anecdotal, because as a commuter myself, $50 is probably the maximum I'd be willing to pay for a permit. I visit other towns to do that. I used to live in Montclair area, and I paid about $50 a month for a permit. And it's actually a small price to pay to have a guarantee of a spot. And I know there's a guy at Clinton Point who charges $15 a day to valet park your car. And people actually pay because they have no choice.
And have other venues been considered, for example, the ShopRite parking lot now?
We thought that this might be the most viable alternative, so we've talked about it, and we haven't looked that deeply into it. But we thought in terms of the timely solution, there had already been some work done along this path a year or so ago.
Question I have is, Clinton Town been accessed, approached about access by foot to their to the station? Because I know I park on Center Street often, and I mean it's a bit of a hairy walk from Center Street to the parking lot.
It absolutely is, because I've walked to town many times, and it's hairy.
But we've not approached them about access, better access.
So access
like a sidewalk. Thank you.
There are grant programs the state gives, like to the Park Transportation, Safe Streets to Transit, that will allow municipalities to apply for pedestrian improvements associated with public transit facilities. So all of the probably would be prohibited in this economic context to sort of finance that exclusively at the municipal level. So that's just something worth exploring.
There's one other benefit I don't think I see here. We were talking about is that if Clinton Township, the middle school, has a big event and you don't have enough parking, you can overflow, right? This lot can be used as an overflow lot, because all the people who come home from Manhattan are back home, most likely it's at 3rd, and most of your events are in the evening. So it's not nothing to think about, right? There's no benefit. You get a large crowd, they can park there.
Yes, thank you. I actually have two questions. The first is, what's the time frame for the buses in the evening? What time are the inbound trains? Buses.
They really don't start coming frequently until more like 6 o'clock or so. I mean, there's buses that leave. I go into Port Authority, so I'm typically taking a 5 o'clock bus, or rather a 5:30 bus that gets in around 6:45. There's definitely buses before that. There's a big stretch during the day where there's really hardly any. In fact, it's a little prompted a problem if you want to get home at a certain time in the afternoon. There's not that many buses. But I have to double check the schedule to see when they start really running regularly. But I would say like between 4:30 and 5 leaving the city. So, you know, in their hour, 2 hours and a half till they get here.
So they would be arriving back in the CTMS area anytime after, so 6 o'clock on?
Definitely some before that, but yeah, then you have from 6 o'clock on, you've got, during the hours of, I would say, 6:30 to 8, you probably have more than a half a dozen buses, because there's buses leaving more frequently during that time.
And these are Wall Street buses?
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about the Port Authority. I'm thinking of Port Authority because that's where I come from.
Okay.
There's a handful. They're not, and I wish I would have brought the schedule with me because it's right online. I don't think it would interfere with your buses leaving the school, if that's the concern.
Well, can you give me a ballpark of when they would be coming back to the CTMS area from Wall Street?
I think it's around the time, as I said, like that 6 o'clock time.
I think it's more like 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30. My sister lives in New York. She would come here from Wall Street, take it into the Wall
Street. So in other words, coming home?
Coming home. So like,